Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Welcome back to the Winning Plays Podcast. I'm Rich Levine. He is Brian Robb, and we are in the play-in tournament.
Woo!
Yeah. Thank you for adding that sound effect. My voice couldn't sell it. We're recording this on a Monday morning. Tomorrow, Tuesday night, the Celtics are hosting the Surging Wizards. And B-Rod, let me break this down real quick for everyone. I think maybe everybody knows. So Tuesday night, Celtics-Wizards. If the Celtics beat the Wizards, they are the seventh seed. If the Celtics lose to the Wizards, they will then play the winner of the Hornets and Pacers game. And what day would that be? Have they announced that yet?
That'd be Thursday night.
And then if they lose, the season is put out of its misery. If they win, they are then the eighth seed.
Correct. So the consolation prize would be the Sixers. So if you get the seven, you get the Nets in the first round in a series that probably starts Saturday. If you lose Tuesday, win Thursday, you probably get the Sixers in a series that could start Saturday as well. And like you said, if you lose both, then you're done and you drop down to the, what would be below probably the 13th or the, I'd have to look up the pick, but something in the 12 to 14 range for your draft pick.
You know, what kind of blew my mind?
What?
Did you see the line for this Wizards Celtics?
Yes.
How are the Celtics favored in this game? 1.5 points. I saw the latest.
Well, I saw conflict. I mean, this might just show you what it is. Like last night, I want to say Matt Moore, someone like that, tweeted out that in one book, the Wizards opened as 1-point favorites too.
Interesting.
I'm sure maybe it evened out a little bit. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I think the Bradley Beal hamstring injury has to factor in here.
Sure.
And so let's go into the matchup to begin with. The Wizards had an absolute nightmare start to the season, ravaged by COVID, et cetera.
They were like team zero.
Yeah, they were exactly. They were out for like 2 or 3 weeks. Westbrook had other injuries that didn't look like himself till at least midway through season. But since then, like in the last 20 games, they've been essentially like a top five team in the league on both ends of the floor. They're top 10 on offense, top 10 defense during that stretch. And they made a sneaky trade at the trade deadline on top of like Westbrook and Beal just playing out of their minds right now, Rich, where they got Gafford from the Bulls, who has just like thrived as just the, you know, the mobile shot blocking big that can just finish in the pick and roll with Westbrook and Beal coming off their bench. So suddenly this is a team that with Jaylen Brown out of the picture for the Celtics, like you look up and down the roster and yeah, the Celtics have more top-heavy pieces, but from a pure, like, full rotation standpoint, as things currently stand, it's pretty close. It's a lot closer in talent than you would have guessed.
Yeah, oh, by the way, speaking of athletic shot-blocking bigs who can work in the pick-and-roll, Rob Williams, I'm not expecting him to play.
I expect him to try to play, but it might not last long, is my guess.
Okay. But yeah, I know it's interesting because you talk about the last 20 games, 15-5, and the losses, by the way, one overtime loss to the Spurs, then at Dallas by one, at Milwaukee by one, and then back-to-back losses at Atlanta, 1-1, 1-4. So like they could have very easily gone 20-20. Granted, they had a couple overtime wins in there. But yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook, it's hard to think of a time in his entire career, Hall of Fame career, even this guy, former MVP, where he's been this dominant over a stretch of time. And then when you think about the fact that, okay, Beal is not 100%, you wonder what he's going to look like on Tuesday. But when you think in he might not even be the best, Westbrook might not even be the best player on the team. I mean, you can say that they certainly have two of the best three players in the game, which many times is enough. And just with the inconsistency that we've seen from Tatum at times, certainly as the rest of his supporting cast has kind of disappeared, I mean, they might have the two most dominant players in the game.
Yeah.
I want to walk that back already a little bit. Tatum probably is, but it's two very scary all-world players.
Right. And I mean, the Westbrook wild card factor is, like, you know, if it's a 2-point game in the last minute, he's going to chuck up a 30-foot bad three to lose in the game if you're the Wizards. So you have that. I don't know how much you have to just factor that immediately.
But again, they've had a lot of their wins in this stretch. Like at Utah was four points. Yep. You know, they had OT in New Orleans was 2 points, 4 points against the Warriors. It's been a lot of close games, and you know, neither you or I are sort of the Wizard aficionados. I don't think we've really been watching them along the stretch that closely, but clearly Russ is changing his tune a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Russ, like you said, he is back to what the Wizards thought they were trading for in the offseason when they gave him a first round pick to get him along with Wall's Albatross contract. And that deal, no matter what happens tonight, that deal looks great right now, given what Wall's looks like in Houston for the team long-term. So I'm curious from a matchup standpoint here, how this is going to work with Westbrook and Beal in terms of logically. Okay. Yeah. Kemba on Westbrook, Smart on Beal, but then do you go to like Tatum or something like that? I mean, like, hey, this is, you take the challenge of Beal today right now, so we can put Smart on Westbrook and hide Kemba somewhere.
That's my thought. I think that's how you got to do it for one game. And we could talk a little bit later about how much the Celtics even want to win this game or the next one.
Right.
But for this game, if the goal is to win and to get that seventh seed, I think you got to say, hey, Tatum, your buddy Bradley is a little bit, you know, he's limping a little bit, not 100%. And you just say, Marcus, this is yours. This is your chance. It's been a tough season. It's been an uneven season. Go and be first team all defense against a guy who is first planet all offense right now. And just
could be playing one leg with the hamstring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that will be, given the stakes and the winner take all involved, like, that will be pretty interesting to watch out of the gate. Although you look at the rest of the starting five, and there's not an easy place to put Kemba defensively, because the forward options are Bertans and Hachimuras, who both have a ton of size. So, like, I guess, I don't know, you can, you know, dare, you know, either of those guys to post up, which is kind of where you want them to be as opposed to the 3-point line. But the Wizards have a decent amount of size, and they have Gafford and Lopez coming off the bench. So if Rob Williams is not able to go, then that puts a lot of pressure on Tristan Thompson and Grant Williams, which is not exactly a good thing for this team this year.
Yeah, no, you say that Len is starting at center. I mean, neither Len nor Robin Lopez are going to, you know, light the world on fire at center, but those are two very, very big dudes,
right?
Who can dominate the boards if Rob isn't ready, and if Tristan isn't, I don't know. let's not talk about Tristan right now. But you know, I think you know, when it comes to Westbrook and what they're going to do with Kemba and all that, like, it's a little bit of, you have to take, I think, the Giannis approach, where it's just you just need to slow him down a little bit.
Yeah,
because once he starts going downhill, we've seen it. He might not have Giannis' size, but he's going to get to the hoop. He's going to draw attention and dish to guys like, you know, Bertans, who we know doesn't need much space to light it up. Same with Beal. So I think that's really maybe where you start. Like, get them in a half court offense, and then maybe you can, you know, it's still you're going to have to find something to do with Kemba, but at least I think you have a better shot than if you get into a into a race with these guys. You're going to lose it.
Yeah, no, track meet is not where you want to be. And then there's always another guy who's kryptonite against Celtics, Ish Smith, coming off the bench too, who always seems to go for, you know, 15 and 5 against them.
Yeah, it's just solid.
So It's this is, you know, in terms of if you wanted the Celtics to potentially lose the play-in situation, this is probably they're easily their toughest opponent out of the gate. And I don't know, like, if the Pacers have their full fleet back, I assume the Pacers are going to beat the Hornets since in the other matchup on Tuesday. And since Hayward's not back, and that's just a talent mismatch from a standpoint. So, I mean, if the Pacers want to make one last gasp for their coach, whatever, like, and Brogdon's back, from a talent standpoint, I think they have an edge over the Celtics too in that head-to-head matchup with Jalen out.
Yeah, again, you probably if you're drafting those two rosters, you probably take Tatum. Probably, I mean, Sabonis is pretty damn good.
You
take Tatum one, and then the next three or four guys are Pacers. LeVert, yeah. Brogdon, Sabonis,
at least. Yeah. And yeah, we see Kemba. I mean, and this is a huge week for Kemba Walker. As we're putting him down the list of, like, we're not even mentioning him amongst the, which is fair, just based on what his year has been. He obviously has got it going a lot offensively in the last couple of weeks as Jalen's been off the court. And that's an encouraging sign for the short and the long term if you're, you know, a part of the Celtics organization. But at the same time, we've seen his liabilities on full display defensively, more so than in past years. And so against all these teams, this is whether it's Washington or Indiana this week, or obviously if they get through this week, you know, the first round, no matter who they play, is going to be a whole different story. But this is a huge week for Kemba to just assert himself offensively and try to make up for his defensive, you know, limitations, not from an effort standpoint, just from a straight, you know, size and athleticism standpoint as he's in his 30s, but that it's a way for him to kind of prove that, okay, I can still bring it here, which I did in, you know, which he did pretty well in the first round of the playoffs last year against the Sixers before things kind of went awry in that Toronto series.
Sure. But don't you think, like, whether Kemba goes 0 for 15 on tomorrow night or drops 50, the Celtics are still trying like hell to trade him over the summer.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's more of you want to at least, this is a, you know, not a show, like, you don't want to say they're auditioning him for it, but like anything you can do to help build his value right now, whether it's for yourself as a team or obviously around the league, that's essential. So yeah, like from a big picture standpoint for the team, it's not going to matter if he has two amazing games this week in terms of like what they want to do this offseason. But when you're looking at teams around the league that might have to make some panic moves in the offseason if things don't go well, particularly out west, like this would, Kemba having some strong performances this week would certainly help on that front.
And talking about that big picture, so what's your opinion? What is the best? So we have three possible outcomes right now. The seventh seed in the Nets, right? Yep. The eighth seed in the Sixers, and the ninth seed and the lottery. What's best for I think that a lottery pick, the chance with to grab another Nesmith, and even Pritchard. I mean, that was a late first round. Adding another young talented guy, like cheap young talented guy like that, I think is more beneficial than whatever you might do with Jaylen Brown out for the rest of the year, with Rob Williams clearly, even if he plays, playing through pain, and who knows what that would do to him potentially in the long term. I think the lottery it would be a sad outcome, but it might be the best outcome right now.
Yeah, I mean, from a draft perspective, and the odds are so low of them jumping up any higher into the lottery. Like, you know, if they do lose both and then, you know, have the odds of a 13th team or 14th team, it's like, you know, 5% or something, or even less than that.
Yeah, I think five, yeah.
Yeah, it's like very pie in the sky from that standpoint. But no, I mean, we've seen the difference of two or three draft picks, which you make in the middle of the first round if there's a guy there. And this is a pretty deep draft class. So, yeah, like all things equal for the long term, it's clearly better to get the earlier pick than, you know, whatever, then put up a good fight in the first round. I guess the only counter to that would be, can guys, supporting cast guys on this roster, not just Kemba, but other guys potentially help their value by putting up a good fight in a first round against the Nets or the Sixers. Like, and I don't, whether that's the super young guys like Pritchard or Nesmith that probably aren't going anywhere, but unless that there need to be the sweetener to get something big to happen, or obviously there's a ton of role players on this roster that are going to be, I mean, Brad's going to keep the rotation type, but Kemba, obviously, I think Marcus Smart is another guy that, whether it's with the team or for around the league, like that's someone you'd love to see play well if you're the Celtics right now, from a big picture standpoint. And so there are, that is the case. The case to me for that is not strong enough, obviously, to outweigh the benefits of the higher draft pick, but that is, you know, from a coaching standpoint organization, that's clearly what they want to see. Cause they're going to have a lot of guys thrown into spots here where they're not necessarily going to be long-term. So you're going to kind of, this is going to be a challenge for them up and down the roster to see who responds or who, or if it just kind of goes like the regular season went in these situations.
Yeah, no. And I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I'm going to do it. Let's say that Marcus lives his best reality in this, whether it's, okay, well, let's say they get into the playoffs. He has an ideal Marcus Smart playoff series.
Yeah.
And let's say, and this would be very sad, but let's say that they do pursue and somehow make a trade involving Marcus Smart.
Yep.
If Marcus presents himself in the best case scenario, what is the best case scenario for what the kind of guy that you could maybe grab for Marcus?
I think you're just looking... You're looking at a couple of things. One, you could, are you looking for, there's one road you go is with like a draft pick. Like if maybe a late first would be, I think, very best case scenario for him.
Ew.
If you're with an expiring deal or something that doesn't, you know, that's not going to improve you, obviously it would be a step down on the court. I don't think the team would be interested in that unless they are going to do like a reset in terms of like next year, in terms of trying to clear the money to make some noise over long. That's a whole different can of worms that we can go talk about down the road. But yeah, in terms of player stuff, I think you're just looking for someone, just another role guy that's on reasonable money, probably less than, you know, in the $8 to $10 million per range amount, like not making a ton, but can be offer either additional wing depth or just maybe some, you know, a buy low option essentially for the Celtics for a guy in that range. So I'd have to look at a list in terms of who matches up for that, but he's not going to be, you're not going to get anyone. I think it's going to be hard to find anyone that's an upgrade from a talent standpoint if you're moving him. Cause from what I hear from talking to people around the league is that, and this is not a big surprise, the Celtics value him more than most teams around the league. And they're not that to say that he's not an important player and can help a lot of their teams, but they value what he does defensively more than other teams, I feel like.
Wow. That's crazy. And cause like, so the impetus for moving him is money, right?
Right. Well, I think but the problem with that standpoint too, with Smart, is that he doesn't even make that much money.
No, that's
so that's thing. Like, you're honestly, and that's where we go to Kemba in terms of like, that's the real, you know, albatross. But like moving Kemba is a whole different kind of challenge in the standpoint of making the money work via trades. And are you going to sweeten the deal with draft picks what are you willing to give up to get off that money? So again, that's where it gets real tough. And we'll spend plenty of time this summer looking into that, because it's not, there's not a lot of options there that are appetizing for the Celtics or probably for Kemba. So again, that's where, you know, if Kemba wants to be here, not that he doesn't want to be here, but if to help improve the chances of him staying here long-term, like, you know, playing out of his mind this week might help in terms of at least going, whether it's here or a different destination that has chances next offseason, it certainly helped that front, because if he kind of peters out here, then it's not going to, it could be a rough spot for him in terms of where his next landing spot is.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, we wanted to touch on Jalen real quick. We haven't spoken since he was ruled out for the year. I mean, it seems why they say he's going to resume basketball activity in August, right?
Right. So they had 3 months. Yep. So
Would have worked great if there was another bubble.
Yeah. And like, what did you think anything, Rich, when? So this is not an apples orange situation because we don't know the particulars about Jalen's situation, but Romeo Langford had the same injury as this last year and initially tried to play through it. And we know that Jalen was playing through it when he didn't know he had this injury yet with like the tendon damage with the wrist, since it obviously had been bugging him for weeks. And then once they got imaging, they figured out, oh, okay, this is, you tore it there and you obviously can do more damage here. But the fact that like the team, and this is not an indictment on Jalen, the fact that the team was in a situation where it was like, okay, the season might be over next week anyway, but you know what, Jalen, get this done right now because like it's not even worth you playing next week and potentially making it any worse.
Yeah. And honestly, like it kind of gets back to what I said about why I think just get into the lottery and at least you get, even if it's a late lottery pick, let's walk away from this train wreck of a season with at least something to show for it, at least a late lottery pick to show for it. Because that's it. And believe me, I'm on Jalen's side. I don't think this season is worth playing through an injury like that.
No,
it's just not. But if that's the mentality that you're going to take, if you're going to shut down your one B for the, and granted he wasn't going to be 100%. Clearly, there's something wrong with the wrist. But if you're going to take that approach, take that approach. Don't half play it. Like don't force Robert to, I don't know, forcing him, but don't encourage him to potentially play through a tough foot injury, you know? And at the same time, like we all want to see, it's crazy for, you know, from where the season came from to think that like, you're not going to get to see the Celtics in the playoffs at all. But like to see like, you know, Jason Tatum just having to carry an entire team in a series against a much better Brooklyn team or a much better Philadelphia team. And like he could very easily average 40 points a night and they could get swept. Like just for the wear and tear that could take on him. And I know Tatum's still thinking about playing with Team USA this summer. He hasn't announced it either way, but like, it's just the wear and tear in the long term. Like the season was a mess, clearly. And I think just accept that and move on. And you know, it would be fun to rally around the team for one series, you know what I mean, to put some pressure on the Nets, to put some pressure on Philly. Who knows, maybe steal, I obviously incredibly unlikely, but I think that the best thing to do right now is to get a pick, move on, and start looking at the next year.
Brad Stevens just hung up on you.
But Brad, I can't imagine Brad is, I mean, I'm sure he'd love to challenge. He wants to, you know, keep a playoff streak alive. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants to deal with that. And I know some people I've spoken to, it's like, no, they need to make the playoffs because there could be all these calls now for Brad to get fired. Like, they're like the chirping is going to get louder and louder. And fine, like that's not going to make a difference,
right?
I don't think like whether they beat the Wizards, whether and whatever, whether they lose to the Wizards and lose to the Pacers, I don't think that changes the bottom line in terms of what, you know, Danny or whatever is going to do this offseason. They're going to do what they're going to do. I think they're realistic about their situation. I just I just want to get a lottery pick at this point. That's where I am. I don't know.
It's probably the last chance you're going to have at one for a while, or at least hopefully for the franchise.
Yeah, I'll say hopefully.
Yeah. Is there anyone you're excited to see how they respond in this situation? Not, you know, on the roster, you know, not in the top tier. We've talked a lot about, I guess we talked a little about Tatum. We talked about Kim already. We talked about Smart. Is there anyone below that range of talent? I know you want to talk about Tristan a lot, so we'll get him in a second now. But no, who, like, out of the younger guys, maybe, or even Fournier, like, who are you eager to be like, all right, are we going to learn anything about this guy in these couple weeks? I think that those are the things I'm excited to observe in the, whether things last this week or beyond, just in terms of learning about guys for the long term here.
Yeah. And I think Neesmith for me is the one, you know, I think this is the closest, you know, obviously the stakes are very different. And in this case, it's not quite a game seven. We'll say like that the Wizards game is like a clinching game six opportunity, right? Yeah. You're up 3-2. and the Wizards game six. And then, you know, if they lose, then game seven would be against the next winner. But like, it's the closest thing to like to a do or die situation. And I think it would be really cool if Nesmith, especially right with Jalen out, the opportunity is going to be there a little bit more to see what he can do. The fan situation, there's any increased fans or still the same amount of
yeah,
fans?
No, I think it I think it'll be close to 5,000 in the Garden, I want to say.
Yeah, so the vibe will be a little bit stronger. And yeah, I would love to see Nesmith in that in that situation, like to shine a little bit in that moment, because he's the guy that when you talk about big picture, you know, obviously you got the Jays, there's Rob. You would like to think that there's Marcus, who knows, you know, Pritchard as well. But Nesmith is when I say wild card, I think the floor has risen a lot on like his, even his worst case scenario. I think Nesmith is going to be a contributor moving forward, but like whether he's a guy that really could be a factor, because you talk about all these other teams who have these athletic wings who can do things that Celtics players outside of the Jays, you haven't really seen that much. He's that guy. Like I wonder, I'm getting excited for how big of a contributor he can be moving forward in the big picture. And if he can have a big moment or two and step up in one of these two next games, even if it's just one game, I think that could go a long way.
It's interesting how maybe the rookies now have become like the biggest bright spot of the season, of a season with like very few of them in terms
yeah,
of what,
no, right. And
what's gone right.
Especially when Nesmith was just an afterthought for right. for 75% of it, and that's why, that's why I really feel like the opportunity to get another guy like that, or to pick another player in that range, in the big picture, is what this team needs.
Another Desmond Bane, if you will.
you should, but that's the end of the first round too. Right. You know,
I'm keeping. I'm going to go with two guys. One is Fournier, because that's a pretty big decision for this franchise going forward this offseason of, are we going to pay this guy? I think, and I'll get into it. I'll probably write about it. I don't think he's going to cost as much. His market's going to be as strong as people assume it would be. So I think they'll be able to get him back at a reasonable number. But his, if you look at his playoff numbers, Rich, they are horrific.
really?
So, but again, that's like on an Orlando team going against Milwaukee or Toronto with like when you're overmatched time and time again. So well, I guess it'll be kind of similar in terms of what
the season is.
But at least in these first two games against the Wizards and the Pacers or the Hornets, if they have to play them Thursday, like, okay, what can you do here? Like, what do you bring to the table in this situation? There, you've had to deal with a lot, the COVID. So it's not fair to judge you, particularly that with everything you're dealing with COVID, which he's been very open about and is worth, you know, factoring into the equation here. But if the Celtics are going to invest in him, you know, that they need to feel really good about it. And especially in these big moments, and the playoff stuff factors in a big way to that. So
26% from three.
Yeah. That's not going to do it.
I can't believe I forget Orlando made the playoffs the last two seasons.
Well, that's because they were gone in a week. But yeah, so that, and then Pritchard too. I want to see if he can stay on the floor defense. Like, this is a huge shout. He's going to be able to score against the Wizards. We know that. Is he going to be able to stay on the floor defensively against Ishmith or Westbrook or whoever? And then same situation, whether, you know, if it's the Nets, then that's a whole different animal. But like, can he hold his own and hit some threes, or is it something where he's going to pick up three fouls in 5 minutes and Brad Stevens is going to have to go to Tremont Waters because that's the only one who can may have a chance of staying in front of those guys. So that's the stuff for me to keep an eye on as we head into this week in terms of guys below the surface and, you know, the long term. Because, I mean, you want to keep all those guys long term. But I think with Pritchard and Nesmith, et cetera, like, everything's got to be on the table for those guys too. If you are truly interested in terms of reworking things around, you know, Jalen and Jason. So you might, to get off Kemba, you might have to lose one of those guys as part right. of the deal. Like that you don't want out. Like, I think the team very much likes what they see from those guys and wants to, you know, keep building with them. But that, I'm guessing there's going to have to be a hard trade to be made here at some point. And all those, anytime a value those guys can continue to build, whether it's for the Celtics or, you know, teams watching them, I think that's going to be viable here too.
Okay. Last question. So we're doing this on Monday. We won't record again until after this play-in tournament is over.
No, we're going to have live reaction Tuesday night at midnight. The 9 p.m. start Tuesday, even better.
Oh, that's brutal. Well, they suck on day games, so maybe the,
that's true, yeah.
maybe the late game's good. What's interesting, well, they have a pretty good record on the West Coast this year, right? So maybe they're night owls, this team. Anyways, the next time that we convene on the airwaves here, what are we talking about? The Nets, the Nets, the Sixers, or the lottery?
I think we're talking about the Nets. I do think the Beal hamstring injury is going to come into play. And I think someone's going to go off in that game unexpectedly for the Celtics, and Westbrook's going to do dumb stuff down the stretch. So, wow. I think which is, again, this makes no sense when you look at what a tear the Wizards are on, but I just don't. Westbrook in big situations plus Beal hamstring makes me think that's going to be, you know, a game that the Wizards probably should have won, just like they should have won in Boston. Remember they lost that like 10-point lead in the last minute?
Yeah.
Last time they were up here. So, mm-hmm. That's my prediction. I think if they lose to the Wizards, I think they're done.
I would typically say you're crazy, but Vegas is usually pretty good about not losing money. And I'm surprised the fact that the Celtics, even though the Celtics are only favored by a point, and again, it's ever changing, right? And the Wizards are even money on the money line, so you know it's pretty much a pick 'em.
Yeah.
But the fact that that the Celtics even have that slight edge, makes me believe that maybe it's more possible than I initially believed that the Celtics might be able to take care of business for this one game. I still think, I agree with you. I don't think that there is an eighth seed. I think it's the seventh seed, or they're not going to lose to the Wizards and then win. Oh, obviously that's very possible, but it doesn't seem likely that they would rebound from that.
Right. You either get it together in time to beat the Wizards, or I don't think you're gonna get it together in time. Cause I think the Pacers are a tougher matchup than the Wizards, like across that roster. Like there's just definitely more talent on that roster than Washington has to deal with. So, All right. I also want to give, before we wrap up here, a huge shout out to you and the Riffs Man for a fantastic fundraiser. I hope everyone checked out the last week. I know Rich and I were both retweeting out a bunch of links of where they raised over $40,000 for Marcus Smart's Young Game Changers Foundation in honor of the Tommy Award that he won, the inaugural award he won this week. So, Rich, you had a ton of great interviews during this. This is actually, I think you can still watch this online, right? If people missed this.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube. If you Google, I think the People's Tommy Point on YouTube. I think it's being released as a podcast. I don't know if they've done it yet. But that should be coming. But yeah, no, it was awesome, man. Like it was, I mean, the Celtics community was just fantastic. Like going into it, you know, it took us about, I think it's like about 2 weeks. So it wasn't like a crazy production, like 2 weeks. We put the pedal to the metal and put it together. And then, you know, as we were getting ready, you know, I think we ended up launching the fundraiser on a Tuesday. So like that Sunday and Monday we're like, we don't know how this is going to go. Like we weren't sure. Like at first we were hoping to maybe raise like $18,000, but like, we didn't even want to say that out loud because it would be embarrassing if we raised like, you know, $1,800. And again, so much of this is just about the Riffs Man and the community that he's sort of cultivated on Twitter just by being who he is. So I think that him and Marcus, you know, that's what I say. Him and Marcus I was sort of behind the scenes putting together some of the interviews, but you know, Riffs Man and Marcus were the guys who really inspired the explosion that we saw. And again, to raise $40,000 when we weren't sure if we were going to raise $4,000 is just feels great. And it's just said, it shows just how positive the Celtics community can be despite, you know, a pretty negative season. So it was fulfilling in every way that we hoped that it would be.
Yeah, no, it was definitely like you said, a great sign of what the Celtics community online is capable of doing together. And again, Jake said, kudos to the Thrust Man for like engineering that, to you for getting landing a bunch of great interviews. So again, and Mike Gorman, the Dino Raja I saw in there.
Of course.
I watched some of that. I watched some of you had AC Earl, Marcus Smart joined you guys, Mike Zarin joined you guys. So really just a great who's and chief. Who. And the chief, of course, on the phone.
And a shout out to Efren Ramos too, who's a big presence on Weird Celtics Twitter, or just Twitter in general, who was behind the scenes doing a lot of the production and just all the technological aspects of it that we had no clue. He's a genius on that stuff. So Efren was great as well. It was a true team effort.
No, it was great to see. So again, kudos to you guys and everyone who donated to that out there. Great work. Great way to honor Smart's hard work in the charitable community and his foundation. So be good to see that put to work. But in the meantime, playoff basketball this week. It's back.
We're calling it playoff basketball, huh?
Calling it playoff. This counts. This is as close as Brad Stevens' March Madness. It's here.
No, that
he has to. He's got to be crazy. He's just like, this is. I never thought I could have a chance at this outside of Game 7. No, this is it. So
maybe this will help stop him from taking a college job. He can get his fix.
And we haven't even talked about the Brad Danny like calls during this podcast at all. For Brad, like I care compare this season to Brad to be like, look at Eric Spoelstra in like Miami. And this is like if we compare it to the markets, like LeBron left, Miami had like 2 or 3 years where they were like under 500 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was like mismatched, they had injuries, mismatched roster, et cetera. It's like Spoelstra didn't turn into like a bad coach then.
Right. Like, I mean, I guess the big difference is that he got his couple titles first, right? So
he had that to lean back on. But yeah, to the point, no, you look at Brad's track record here and you're like, what has he done? Majority, like he's overachieved pretty much every year except for 2 years ago with Kyrie.
Right.
So,
and I guess that, you know, this year you would classify it as sort of underachieving, but you know, where Brad ranks on the list of reasons why, again, he's not void of criticism, you know.
No. He had a bad year.
Like, yeah. But he had a bad year and it was also just a bad year.
He was dealt a bad hand. And you have your odds of having a bad year when you're dealt a bad hand goes up by a lot.
Right. And so, again, if we're having the same conversation next year, like maybe
right.
can change the conversation a little bit, but for now, yeah, I'm with you. I think he's earned at least one more year.
I'd say so. So, I mean, like I said, this is something to watch for next season for sure. But for now it's like, there's a lot of other things that need to be adjusted before you look at in that direction yet. And I think the organization thinks that, and same again, I'd say the same thing for the front office too, in terms of like, yeah, it was a tough year. They were dealt a tough hand and now it's go to work this off season. And Amen. So that's what they're going to do. And it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it, and we'll be all over that all off season long. But for now, playoff basketball a week early, get excited, Rich. We'll be back later this week to figure out, to talk about either the season ending or a first round series. So stay tuned for that.